things like that. Well, again, if I asked you, raise your hand if you knew anyone like that, everyone's hand would be up. It's either affected your own life or just one degree away, someone you know right now. And that's why we exist. Mike, could you put on just the background of Christian Encounter? It's on a website. I pulled up three tabs. And if you can just put that as just like a visual. Just from the get-go, I won't park here for too long. But I work at a residential program in Grass Valley. We have 86 acres. Can you go to the homepage? There's just some visuals that are nice to give you like an idea. I think. There you go. Boom. We house people. They come for a year. They get counseling. They get schooling. They get world work experience. Some of them have never worked a day in their life. They do indoor tasks, outdoor tasks, and they have church every Sunday there. They have devos every morning. And basically, we have other staff, but I work in called the discipleship department. It sounds very spiritual. But it's basically making everything kind of keep going. So I train interns. So when I was in college, I became an intern there. And I lived with our students for 3 months. And I had no idea what I was doing. Night three, I was looking up. They had done like a fake fight for me. They're trying to test me. And I was like, what am I doing here? Because I have not really tasted the deep waters that a lot of our students have gone through. And that was a really transformational time for me. So I was very hooked. It was just a great place. So that's a little bit of where I got there, all that. I just want to speak a little bit to you guys about the kingdom of heaven, and then I'm going to pivot to this craziest thing me and my brother are doing, and just how that all ties together, and that's hopefully what you guys all really ties into this morning of all the opportunities you guys have to step in and make a difference and stand in the gap. Because I think big picture, this church is standing in the gap for the community and God. We're trying to bridge that and trying to be a witness, trying to be the light. And on a low scale, there's all these little opportunities, and even on a micro scale, you guys are directly connected to God. And that's just what I want to kind of really build a foundation from. And then I'm just going to talk about an opportunity for you to support me and my brother. But also, before I give any farther, if you know someone who's hurting and has fallen through the cracks, and they're going to become a statistic in probably a couple years, reach out to us. I have things here. I have my own business card in my car. I just realized it's not with me. But we want to partner with you. If we could be a resource. We could also be a place that if we aren't a good fit, we can refer you to another place because we're kind of part of a network of places. If you have a young person who's like I was, 21 or older, who wants to kind of get in the trench ministries and get on the front lines, who wants to actually, like, again, stand in the gap for someone and come alongside the people who need hope, we have internships. We have people, spots all year round. And if you want to volunteer or come use our facilities and come do a guys retreat or something like that, like, we want to just be partnering and available to people because these places don't really come along. We've been around for 50 years, celebrating that this year, so that's my little commercial spiel. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 4. I'm going to start there. And then I'd love to give a little preview. And then also, if you're like want to get ahead of the game and be a teacher's pet, we're going to go to Colossians after that. So some of you are just like, yes, finally, someone's giving me where we're going. And some of you are like, that's too much, too fast. So I think there's two things, well, I won't say, but in my time, I've been at the ranch for about 3.5 years, and it's really, really hard. And I would say you guys have had some probably harsh struggles lately. Who hasn't? And I would say that the encouragement in all of that is that I've grown a lot from all of that. Right? and I'm sure you have grown tenfold, maybe in this last year, more than you thought you would want to. But the thing is that by being tasting, where people are really down and out, tasting a little bit of dark, hurt people, stepping into that, you realize that God is everywhere, and he's always been there, and he lives inside of you, and you have a spirit, and there's a Holy Spirit that knows you, loves you, and is constantly at work around you. And all we get to do, all we have to do is join in that. It's not even riding all on me at all. I get to join into what God's doing. There's a person I'll never remember who said, but he's every time he walks into a new room, just a physical door room, he's like, what's God doing in this room? And I thought that was a great thing, because he is already up to something. And if I'm spiritually aware, have eyes to see, ears to hear, I can join in. And because I'll tell you, there's been times where a student's running down the road and their trauma is coming out. It is go time. They have been bottling stuff down. They have not been feeling to survive, and it is happening. They are allowing themselves to feel and heal, but it's very messy. I do not know what to say most of the time. I work there. I'm on call. I don't know what's as if I knew what to say, right, to that. And a lot of times I just gotta say I don't know how that feels, but I try to get out of my head into my heart and allow God to use me in that moment and be aware. And I've never felt so small than when someone's heading down the road and I'm trying to follow them, right? Here I am, I can tell them, I'll share a devo in that very morning, and I feel like I got things under control. And when they're heading down the road, I have zero control, I feel that big. But you know what? God feels that much bigger. So, all to say, you guys have gone through this transition time, but in that, God is a little bit more near than I think you had maybe experienced prior. So, if you imagine Jesus, if you were down back there in the first century near Jerusalem, and you were kind of a witness to Jesus, what do you think he was talking about? If you could summarize what his big message was, right? You heard about this guy, he's coming around, he's healing people, right? What you think about what he says tells you a lot about what you think and what you think he is. You might think he's telling parables, or he's just a nice guy, or he's a good moral teacher, he's a guru of sorts. Well, he, in Matthew 4:17, we can go there. It's this kind of where Jesus is beginning his ministry. He got baptized. He went out and got into the wilderness. He kind of really figured out and tested himself and really got himself geared up for a long season of trying to bring in what God the Father is trying to do on this earth. So, Matthew 4:17. It said, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you might not notice that's a big thing. I think we've all heard that. And I don't think we talk too much about the kingdom of heaven. But Matthew references it 30 times. That's 1.5 times per flip of the page. So it's everywhere, and that's what he started saying from the get-go. So just the kingdom of heaven is right around you. It's closer than you can even imagine. And two verses down in 4:19, he said to them, talking about Simon and Peter, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And a couple things I want to just kind of bring out from that I think are just total essentials from just my little taste and my little world working with people. But I'm sure I hope it'll relate to you guys trying to be a community and whatnot. But my big thing was, is there any power in this? Is there really any real power in the gospel? Or is it just mostly just in my head things I agree? Because I could tell you, I work with young people, and their BS meter is up through the roof. they're trying to find what's the real deal, right? They're trying everything and anything to figure out, who are they? Is God real? Are people safe? All those questions are being answered. And I don't want to just utter little isms. I don't want to do bumper stick theology. I want to sell them that there's something so real. And I think I've been just trying to figure out, just lately, what works? What is true? What is real? What is something you can go like, that's real? That person's different from when they came. Is there any power in all this that we're doing? And that's a hard question to ask, but I think it's a really, really good one. And I would say, if I could boil everything down, that's in this kingdom God's saying that's right here at hand. Jesus is trying to come down and show you that heaven's invading earth. It's coming. The way it's going to be for eternity is happening now. I'm starting it, and everyone who follows me can start doing little pockets of heaven everywhere, and people can start seeing how it's supposed to be, how we all know deep down inside there's got to be more of this than just this rat race and suffering and hardship. And it isn't. It's totally for our eternal purpose. And basically what Jesus knew was there's a God-bathed world. He knew something we just didn't know. And I think the Old Testament starts with trying to show us that the whole idea of the Bible, if you want to summarize it, is God is with us. So in the garden, God is walking around in the cool of the day. He's with us. And then obviously we know the fall, and he's kind of start from really just a one family. But there's a burning bush. God came down, entered into our space. Then there's a tabernacle, and God's like, I'm going to live with you guys. I'm going to set up camp literally with you guys. I'm going to live, and you're going to have access to me. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to warm you. I'm going to cool you in the desert. And then it gets to this temple. I'm here. I'm going to, and the temple reflected Eden, by the way. It looked like there's imagery pointed to that. I'm here. And then Jesus showed up. He's like, I am the Father. You've seen me. You've seen the face of God. There is literally even less distance between you and I. And then in Pentecost, Jesus rose and said, hey, I'm giving you a helper. And everyone's like, what? That doesn't seem like I think we're going backwards, but no. The Holy Spirit is with us, and it lives in you. God cannot be physically closer to you than he is. You have access to him in that way. And then the last book of the Bible tells us that we are going to be with him forever in the way the plan A. But actually, there is plan A, because we now can choose that. We're in this environment where we can choose that, so he can have people that he loves and that they choose to love him back. Or else we just have a bunch of robots. So we've all kind of went down that road. So God's with us. That's my main point. Because when it's really hard, or in the mundane, which is even harder, I get called in I'm on call every fifth week at the ranch, and I kind of get excited, actually, because at least I know I'm going to see the real person and really see who they are, because usually they have a wall up, and it's just the gal who just doesn't feel, they're just shut down, or the guy all he talks about is sports or whatever, just like, I don't want to do small talk. I live with these guys, I have lunch every single day with them. But when I'm on call and there's so-and-so's running down the road or missing, I get to see them for what's really going on. It's a precious, sacred time to be let in that. But at the same time, the mundane's even harder. It's harder. But the thing is, if God is everywhere and in me and always working in every single room, it's not. It's the greatest, awesome, example, adventure, mystery at the same time, but also purposeful thing. So I want to give you all these truths, but to like encourage you that there is no accidents. God's closer than ever. If we can go to Colossians 1, we'll start in verse 13. Also, people usually don't give me enough time to get there, so I'm really, now that I got the reins, you know, I'm doing my thing. So Colossians 1:13, I'll just read it from my translation I wrote down here. But he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So our access point is Jesus. Again, God came and met us where we were at. At the same time, he is the king of his kingdom. it sounds repetitive, but we just miss all of that. So he's in control. We just have to be available. Does that make sense? I am no expert. I hope to tell you, like, I do not know what to say most of the time. Every person's so different. There's no cookie cutter thing I can describe to any student or person or situation that comes through here. I try to be obedient with what information I have and be sensitive as best I can and be spirit led, which is saying you don't know. It's okay to say you don't know. But he is king and he's in charge and he is with you and he is with them. And the power that I was talking about earlier, what is power, right? Because right now in our world, we see it everywhere. There's coercion, there's punishment, there is manipulation, there is the silent treatment, there's neglect, there is power as far as money goes, there is prestige, there's access, there's exclusivity. That's kind of how our world operates. But power in this kingdom is sacrificial love. If you want to know what power is, if you want to see people change or transform, it is standing in that gap and getting run over by either their pain or the world's pain. And we are wounded healers because Jesus was our wounded healer. He absorbed it so that there's no more darkness and there's nothing but pure light. There's no cog in the wheel. There is just love radiating through people back and forth. And just to keep going, Colossians 1, 25 through 27, just a little bit farther down. Again, I'm going to preface this. I might be skipping spots, but I'm going to, it says to make. Hopefully that's somewhere in your translation to start, to make. To make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Glory of this mystery, The glory of this mystery. So God has kind of progressively been revealing himself through the ages, right? Burning bush, that's who God is. Ooh. It's powerful, it's scary, there's fear, there's trembling. And Jesus comes to be a tender person. He's a father, right? There's a leveling through the ages. And the big thing that I think that I've missed in my life, but I've clinged on to, and hopefully is an encouragement to you, that this mystery through the whole ages is this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That we are the temple now. We are the tabernacle. We are, heaven is here. Parts of heaven is where we're going to be, or heaven is where God is, correct? Well, God's in me. Heaven, God invades our lives, our space. He makes a home there. And I would like to say that in that, there I can talk about, I know I had to limit this, but I could talk about shame and conviction and trauma that's literally in our bodies. You can feel it. That's trapped in us. That lightning bolt of anxiety you have, that is, I tell students all the time, they're just so angry, right? And they've been told they're an angry person all their life. And I'd say, you're not an angry person. You have anger in you. You have darkness in you. And then light can take it all away. Because God can change you. And I'm speaking on authority only because I have the privilege of seeing people move through that over time. It's no cakewalk, but it's the real deal. So, Mike, can you play the Agony Ride video? And just kind of as a background, because I don't... When do we need to wrap up? Okay. Well, I'm going to play this in the background just as a visual, okay? So don't, you know, there's little typos and stuff, and you can watch that on your own time. And then at the end of service, I'm going to play a video me and Max made. It's on Facebook that is kind of talking about us doing, but you can play that as you guys are mingling and kind of hear that, because that's also a great visual of the property, and we're kind of blending these two things. So, me and my brother are riding 250 miles in 24 hours on July 23rd and 24th from noon to noon, from Friday to Saturday. Now, not doing that just out of nowhere. I work at a place called Christian Encounter Ranch. We have a fundraiser every year called the Agony Ride. And the Agony Ride is a basically fundraiser we put on that is one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. I was an intern. I was like, what's I keep hearing this bike ride. I'm like, I'm here with students. Why do we keep talking about bikes? What, bicycles? Why, like? And I was a summer intern, and I got to see that. People I did not know, some people I did know, riding around this place called Loyalton. It's a 13-mile track, T course, up, down, up, like, and we have these SAG stations, support and gear, that are little pockets of heaven. So, there are places where I come off, I'm riding, or someone's riding, I get water, I get food, I get my tires checked, I get a massage if I'm really hurting. But these people just ride and ride and ride and ride and ride and ride. It gets dark, and they ride and they ride and they ride and they ride. No one's even up, and they ride. And then the sun rises, and they ride and they ride and they ride to raise money for the students, staff, for us to exist. And I cannot tell you how many students that has broken through to them. Because no one's cared about them. No one's actually said they're sorry. No one has told them they're worth it. And this proves at some level that they are worth it. Because why else? Why else would they ride? And I literally have people ask me, why do you work here? Why do you? And that's like, I say, that's a great question. That's a great question. Because God has to be real, right? So I did this 2 years ago. And as staff, you kind of have to like alternate years because I need to like man the booth this time around and be like the actual place to like keep that moving. So my main takeaway from 2 years ago was a student named Bella. She was adopted. She had her walls up. She was kind of gliding through the program, not ever volatile, but all of a sudden she just like was disappeared one time, and I saw her and she was just crying, and she just, something about the ranch being at a safe enough place, your body knows it's time to work through things and bring things up just out of, you ever have just an out of nowhere thing, you just kind of like wrecked and you just don't know why, because maybe you've been in a safe, stable place for a while. That's just a little tidbit, but Bella was just really guarded. She's didn't know her adoptive parents kind of prevented her from knowing what was her background and looking into that. Turns out, post this point, now that she's out and she's 18, she looked into it. Her mother was a drug addict. She has a bunch of different siblings, all in the foster care from that same mother who's not able to do anything. A couple of her siblings have died. Basically, generational trauma from her birth date is seeped into her. I don't know if you know about prenatal stress and babies or anything, but that sets you on a course that is tough. I was good for, I mean, I cared about her. She, we were good. We had a lot of good conversations, but I rolled into one of the stations, and she was at Loyalton, and every time I rolled in, I just came from Beckworth, where my mom was just like, get out of the way, it's Paxson's mine, or whatever, right? Well, she did that for me, and she's not my mom. She's the opposite. I should be caring for her. And it just, she was free to love. She wasn't, it wasn't going to be used against her. It wasn't going to be a threat to her. She wasn't going to be shamed for feeling or loving. And she took care of me more than anyone, really, that whole 24 hours. And because I knew that was different for her, right? I expected it from my mom. She was free to finally be in the spot. And I think this is what the Agony Ride does. It strips away these scales we have and really just gets to the core of us as a person. And so that's what we're doing. That's I finally got Max into it. Hogan's been transitioning. I let him go. I released him from this curse. But it is very transformational. So all to say, my mom's been hopefully pumping you guys up. If you'd like to donate anything per mile, we have things up here. The other thing is, if you want to actually physically come up there, it's in this, again, this video, I can tell you more, but it's, you go to Truckee from 80, take a left, you go north, not towards Reno. There's this big, huge basin of pretty flat, and it's kind of this high desert area. It's called, the town is Loyalton, Beckworth, and Vinton. These are little, very small towns, and we kind of take it over for a little bit and just do that. So you could come up there and be a part of it, which is really my big mission. We're trying to raise money. That's the main thing. The other thing is you can just share the word. You can just kind of like get on. If you know cyclists who are really into cycling, like we had a dude he did 399 miles, which is a shame, right? Maybe we just told him that so he comes back, you know, this next year. But it's an amazing event, and the people you're writing for are right there. So I'm sure there's cyclists out there who are really into it. There's people who just want to be part of it. And there's just, again, just a way to just come. I would say this is a little pocket of heaven up there. It's me trying to outserve the students and them trying to outserve me. I think that's how it's going to be in heaven, in the kingdom. Where I have our talents or stuff, we're just going to try to outserve each other, right? Every good marriage, that's what that is. So, agony, ask the person next to you where or how many times agony is in the Bible. Go. You have 2 minutes. Mine's ESV, so ESV. No, it's not even a lot in any version, so you might get me on that, but anyways, I'll just tell you, it's one time, and it's Luke 22:44. If you want to turn there and highlight and put Agony Ride and put bicycles and write in your Bible. I'm a writer in my journal Bible. I remember my mom, when I was little, she wrote in her Bible. I was like, what are you doing? You can't write in your Bible. It's like this holy thing being from heaven, right? She's like, you can write in it. I was like, poof. Yeah. In the ESV, it's one time. Well, oh, sorry. Yes, yeah. It might be the root word there that makes... The NET Bible has it one time. I know that for sure. you forget it. This doesn't work. You guys don't need to listen to me no more. So I'll read from mine. It said, beginning in a agony, he prayed more earnestly. This is Jesus in Gethsemane, trying to ask God, is there any other way this could happen? And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down from to the ground. Talks about having him a lot of sorrow. He's like mad at disciples for sleeping. You know, it's just like, could you guys not just sleep one more time? This is like the 12th hour. This is it. And again, so that's how we kind of came up with the name, again, because there's just self-evident truth comes in the form of people sacrificing for you. They're just hard to get around that. So those are my kind of points for you. I hope that encourages you that God is close in a different way. God, you cannot get any closer or farther away from God. If I take a step this way, I didn't get farther away or closer to him, right? He's actually, everywhere. Doesn't mean he's in everything, like God's not the sock, the ceiling, or whatever, but he created everything and he dwells. He made his dwelling among us. And that is the main point, because there's so much mundane, and there's also really hard points that we all go through. At the same time, the power that is in this kingdom and that we'll have from now into our eternity is when we're going to be trying to outserve each other. So we get to just practice before we go to heaven. This is just training. This is God is going to usher his kingdom in his control, and we get to just follow in the wake. Another person told me we're on mop-up duty. He goes in, slays all the people, defeats the army. We just go pick up the scraps after him. He does the heavy lifting. We are just available to be used. So with that, that's my stuff. If you guys are interested at all with the ranch, I'm here till however long, like just to help answer questions. It makes all the sense in the world to me. I live on property. But if there's ways you think you want to help, or we can partner, or we can serve you, just let me know. If you want to hear more about the Agony Ride, I'm right here. You can take something that you can go fill out later in the mail. You can go sign up online, whatever's easiest. But I just want to say thanks, and thank you for letting me come back.
So here's what we're going to do for a sequence. If you need to go get your kids in children's church, please feel free to do that. And we're going to sing a final worship song together, like to pray for Paxton. And then he has a video they put together about the Agony Ride. That's just a couple of minutes. So if you have a couple of minutes, you can stay and do that. That would be great. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have placed us here. I appreciate Paxton's reminder that you are ever present. There isn't anywhere we can hide from you, anywhere we can be without you. Thank you that you fill us. Thank you that you, as Paxton said, you sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. Thank you, God, that you do the heavy lifting. And thank you, Lord, that you invite us to partner in ministry, reaching the broken and the lost and the needy. And I was reminded that after we come to Christ, we're no longer broken, Lord, but we are healed and filled and given hope. We are still weak and need your help. So, Lord, I pray for Paxton. I thank you for his life. You called, and he said yes. And that's what you want from us. When you call, that we would say, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll do what you're calling me to do. Whether that's at Christian Encounter Ranch, or at VBS, or at a community barbecue, or in our family. That when you call, we would say yes. Lord, I pray your blessing on Paxton and the ministry there. We're really glad, God, to be have the privilege to serve you. Guide us as we sing this worship song to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can go ahead and stand if you like. Because he's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. And oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord forevermore. But there is good news for the captive. Good news for the shamed. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save. 'Cause he's our rescuer, he's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord our rescuer. He is beauty for the blind man, riches for the poor. He is friendship for the one the world ignores. He is pasture for the weary, rest for those who strive. Oh, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. Yes, the good Lord is the way, the truth, the life. 'Cause he's our rescuer, he's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord our rescuer. So come and be chainless. Come and be fearless. Come to the foot of Calvary. 'Cause there is redemption for every affliction here at the foot of Calvary. So come and be chainless. Come and be fearless. Come to the foot of Calvary. Where there is redemption for every affliction here at the foot.
Amen. He's our rescuer. Have you been rescued? By the grace of God. So I'm going to ask you, when you see what happens as soon as we say amen, is everybody starts talking. But there's dialogue behind this little video that the guys have made to talk about the agony ride. So if you stay, would you be quiet for just 2 minutes and watch? And if you are ready to leave, then talk outside beyond the closed doors. That way those who are here can hear the dialogue on the video, okay? And I just want to praise God for that he is our rescuer. I want to praise God for the work of Christian Encounter Ministry. Praise God for VBS and Awana and youth ministry and the stuff that happens all along. You guys, there's a world that Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. And what was Jesus praying for? Workers, laborers. That's us. Workers in the vineyard. That's right. That's us. God, thank you for this morning. It's been rich for me. I thank you, Lord, that you've reminded me of so many things. God, call us up. Help us to say yes. Help us to be willing to give up temporal things to be about eternal things. We need you. We love you. We thank you for your presence, your mercy, your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin to show that video. And if you need to leave, you can just leave quietly. When you're ready, go ahead and roll the video.
I don't say my name or anything. I'm sweating.
How many miles are you trying to go?
Trying to go 200 miles.
My goal this year is 250 miles.
About 300, I'm going to try.
3, 2, 1, go!
Last year I was an intern for Agony, and I saw how much it meant to the kids that people were out there fighting through their pain for them, and I wanted to be a part of that. So
this is my way of giving back, is by writing and showing the other students that they have the chance to heal and to be well.
I just think Christian Encounter is a great ministry, and I just want to support it. So that's why I wrote.
I personally cannot directly go to these kids and say, hey, I love you and I want to see you have a great life, but channeling through this way, I'm able to support those who do that.
We're about to ride 250 miles on a bicycle in 24 hours in the annual Agony Ride. And the Agony Ride changes lives. It changes lives for the riders, it changes lives for anyone who participates, but most importantly, it changes lives for young people who are really struggling in life. And that's who we're riding for.
We all know someone who's hurting, who's fallen through the cracks, doesn't have the support, who's been through trauma. And that's why Christian Encounter Ranch exists. The ranch, Christian Encounter Ranch, puts on the Agony Ride every year as their main fundraiser. And so that event really actually encapsulates really well what happens the rest of the year here on property. And that's where we're at right now. 2 years ago, I rode in the Agony Ride for the first time. And I was expecting a lot of different things. You can imagine the training, the nutrition, just the type of pain and fortitude in that experience. But what I remember from that was the students who go up there and help out. They ministered to me in a very unique way, something that deeply touched me. I saw the best versions of them. I'm on staff here and I see them every day. And you can imagine what working through your story and trauma might come out and how that might be messy. But they were the kindest, generous, and most life-giving people in those 24 hours because they felt the pain I was going through and they saw a lot of other people riding and trying to make this event happen. And that all communicating to them that they're worth it and we're riding for you.
When Paxton asked me if I wanted to ride this year, I was psyched. Not really, actually. I was actually finding excuses for not being able to ride, which luckily the last couple of years I've had some pretty solid excuses, like I'm out of the country. But this year, I could tell he was really adamant. He really wanted me to ride. And it meant the world to him and everyone here. And when I finally sat down and I thought about if I wanted to or not, the thing that I thought of was, you know, we've been blessed and fortunate enough to grow up in an amazing household with amazing parents and just super loved and cared for. But that's not the case for many, many, probably the majority of, you know, young people in the world. And I thought if I can give back, if I can give one day of my life back, 24 hours of agony, so there's a chance that one person who is struggling, who's in pain, could maybe spend the rest of their life in happiness. And it was a no-brainer for me. And I couldn't be more excited to give back. And our mission this year is to get as many people involved and contribute to the Agony Ride this year as possible.
Yeah, there's three main ways to help. If you can't make it to the valley itself on those dates, please support me and Max. Look us up on agonyride.org and pledge a flat fee or per mile. I encourage you to do per mile because we really need that motivation to keep on going through the later rounds. The second way is to be a SAGGER, and that just means support and gear. And there's a lot of different subcategories to that. We have three stations on our loop, 13 miles away from each other, that we are gonna like act as pit stops and ways to get recovered and get what we need. You can be a mechanic, you can be a cook, you can be a setup teardown, you can be a massage therapist, you can be a guy who on a motorcycle who goes up and down the course and just monitors the route. My personal favorite is being the person who catches people as they come and be that pit stop crew guy and encouragement and get what they need, fill up their tires, get water into them, get some food for them, and just be that person to tell them to keep going because that's really, really important for us. And the last way is to ride yourself. Right about now is a lot of people sign up. So we need 100 plus riders and the range can be from less than 100 miles up to 350 plus. So you can be someone who just wants to come out and show students that they're cared. And if at the same time you want to push yourself physically, this is one of the best environments to do that.
The Agony Ride goes down July 23rd to July 24th from noon to noon and it's located 25 miles north of Truckee. If you have any other questions or you want to sign up, you can reach out to Paxton and I directly via DM, text message, email, call us, or whatever. Or you can go to agonyride.org or christianencounter.org.
Please share this video. There can be someone who's just wanting to do an event like this, who's a cyclist, is a natural fit. There's people who are super interested in the cause. There's going to be parents out there who need to know that there's a place like Christian Encounter Ranch that exists. And then something I haven't mentioned, there are young people 21 and older who want to come and be interns with us and be on the front lines of having people change. That's what I did 5 years ago and that started this whole thing. That's how I got started with the ranch. So I really encourage you to share this. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for watching. We love you guys.
Good friends, they call each other brothers. They're going to battle in the octagon because the winner moves up the ladder towards a shot at the winner of Cain Velasquez, Fabricio Verdú.